Hey, I'm operating from the darkness today. I'm trying to, and I can't go outside. It's cold. Yo. So, yeah, bear with me, honorable members and ladies and gentlemen. There is no sunlight where I am. So please accept my apology for that. I can't do otherwise. I'm hoping everyone here with us today have renamed their gadgets so that we are able to know people who are in our meeting, because it's important that we always cautious of the cyber attacks and cyber security is one thing that we must always send the show when as we say go. So Mr. Skwela, can you beam our agenda, please? I know that the agenda was sent to everybody, but it's important that we beam it just for the benefit of those who might have not seen the agenda for our meeting. Honorable members, there's our agenda. There's our agenda, opening and welcoming apologies, adoption of the agenda. And we are going to have a briefing from the department. And I will also again request that, like we did yesterday, which enabled us ample time to deliberate on the presentations, the approach should be the same, that the department presents item 4, 5, and 6, and thereafter we are then able to discuss all three items at once and allow the department also ample time to respond to our issues. Without wasting time, honorable members, I'm going to allow Mr. Skwela to present the apologies to the meeting. Mr. Skwela?
Thank you, Chair. We have three apologies, Chair.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is from the Minister. She is attending Cabinet. The second one from Honorable Ngola, who is attending public hearings on gender-based violence. And the third one from Honorable Mishwa. He is present, but he left the meeting earlier, most probably past 11, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Ngozi, your hand is up. Why?
Thank you, Chair. I would like to leave the meeting at half past 11 at the airport, and we board at 12 in Cape Town.
You board to?
Cape Town. I'm at OR. I'm going to Cape Town.
Well, I'm boarding at 7 o'clock flight, Honorable Ngozi, for you to be safe. Was there no 7 o'clock flight for you to be boarding at this time of the meeting?
No, there was none. I would have missed the meeting.
7 o'clock, you arrive at 9. No missing of the meeting.
I said there was no flight.
Okay. Honorable members, those are the apologies as presented by Mr. Skwela and Honorable Ngozi making his submission of the apologies. Can you lower your hand then, Honorable Ngozi, since you are done submitting your apology. Let me also welcome Honorable I saw earlier on Honorable Hlengwa is joining us today, but Anmazwe Pinguku. So let me welcome him to our meeting. He has not been attending these meetings because of his busy schedule at SCOPA. I saw him briefly. Honorable members, can we move for the adoption of the agenda?
I move.
Honorable Msane is moving. Honorable Mpanza, your hand is up. Can we have a seconder? Honorable Mpanza. Can we have
a seconder? I was saying I'm seconding the adoption of the agenda together with the apologies that were presented.
You must say it, Galoko, for the record of the meeting. Because if
no,
you...
I did not move to chair.
Oh, okay. Okay. Honorable members, we let me take this opportunity and welcome all of you, the department. I saw Deputy Minister Masiho in our meeting on the screen, and also the ministry as a whole. Let me take this opportunity and welcome you and the Department of International Relations team. Led by the DG of the department. Honorable members, we decided that as an entity, the ARF should report an account separately since it has its own secretariat. The successive clean audits have been positively received. Since we started with the sixth parliament, it has always baffled members how the ARF gets it right, and the parent department takes a sharp turn in the opposite direction in terms of the audit outcomes. We still await progress reports on the migration of the IRF to SADPA. We still need to know why at times the ARF is not able to spend all the allocated funds. With processing also is something that we will need to know and understand. One stakeholder led by Vasi Gordon of the Accord reported before the Portfolio Committee in one of our meetings that his organization has applied for funding to pursue conflict resolution at a local level in conflict sports countries in Africa in particular. He reported that the request was not yet considered because the ARF advisory committee had not met. Let's hope that these matters are being addressed by the department and the ARF. We want to put to rest the issue of the Zanele Mbeki Foundation and issues of its projects with the ARF. Note that the funding was approved by both the Minister of Derco and of Finance as required by the ARF Act. However, going forward, we would wish that things be done directly, and in that the officials in Derco stay away from introducing beneficiaries for possible funding by the ARF, as it is the case. Now, our last meeting was reported. It should not only be the Zanele Mbeki Foundation that is given access to funding. other women's organizations promoting dialogue should also be coached and empowered to access this kind of funding. And lastly, as we have said before, there be a relook at the mandate of ARF to also accommodate funding of foreign policy-related projects in the country. We look forward, honorable members and the department, to engaging in your annual performance as a building block, rather, in our consideration of the road covered by the entity in pursuit of its sets of targets. So the meeting is about that today. I know Honorable Nkosi had questions already on the ARF yesterday. I don't know if he's on flight, whether he will be able to engage on these matters. We're hoping that you will have an opportunity to engage if the presentations are not long enough. He will be afforded that opportunity. So, honorable members of Parliament, public, and the department, I welcome all of you and declare this meeting opened. And I will now hand over, allow the DG and his team to make a table for their presentation to the portfolio committee. Over to you, DG, and your team.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and I believe Honorable DM is here too. I'm not sure, yes. And the colleagues, we thank the Honorable Committee for allowing the ARF to come and do its work of accounting to the Portfolio Committee as a separate entity. We appreciate that. Indeed, this is a Schedule 3 entity that is lodging under the department. And I am with a colleague to support me in this work. The ARF Secretariat, which is the administrative arm, is present. And with the permission of the Honorable Committee, I will be requesting that the Ms. Lerato Sempo will present on the ARF, and then I will be able to deal with the other two matters there as they are relating to the department. As we practice separation, we'd like to afford the secretariat also to be on its own. I'm also introducing other colleagues. The CFO is in attendance. The DDG Americas, and because of the item that is on 6, is also in attendance, and the other colleague, Ms. Bongiwe Kwabe, to assist me on item 5 that relates to AU, are in attendance as well. Without any waste of time, I would like to just do a short overview that indeed, honorable members, the ARF as an entity does have this audit outcome, and even in this current one, it is already issued. We are busy drafting the annual report. Indeed, it is a clean one. Just to give the honorable members the benefit of just recalling that the ARF as a fund disperses funds in line with the strategic objectives provided for in the Act. And these are cooperation between the Republic and other countries, in particular African countries, the promotion of democracy and good governance. Another one is the prevention and resolution of conflict. And another objective is socioeconomic development and integration, and humanitarian assistance and human resource development. And as we said, it is a Schedule 3 entity listed in the PFMA, and its financial statements are therefore prepared in accordance with the standards of generally recognized accounting practice, GRAP, including any interpretations, guidelines, and directives issued by the Accounting Standards Board. However, one something that may look anomalous is that in terms of the very act, and then a section six, subsection 3 of the Act, the Director General is of DERCO, is accounting officer of the fund in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, thus creating what we'll normally call a defect of some kind, but which is why we then have to, in future, deal with that. Having said that, we are going to be presenting, as the Honorable Committee has directed us to do, what we call combined quarterly performance, since we have not yet presented it in the form of the annual report, which will only happen after tabling. But we took some elements in all the quarters, put them together for the benefit of this briefing, and which is what Ms. Lerato Sembo is going to be presenting. I must indicate, I'm sorry I skipped this one, to make an apology on behalf of the head of operations of the Secretariat, Ms. Dineo Matlaku, who took ill, and she's not able to be with us, but in her place is Ms. Lerato Sembo, and then she will take the Honorable Committee through. We will work together to answer or to respond to the questions thereafter. May I request permission to allow Ms. Lerato Sembo to take the Honorable Committee through the combined quarterly reports for the year 2019-2020. Permission granted? I'm asking. I hope the chair has granted permission.
On the ARF, yes.
Thank you, Chair. Lerato, please take the Honorable Committee.
Thank you, DG, and thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will be taking you through the combined quarterly performance of the ARF, and just to also highlight that our audit has been concluded and we are in the process of finalizing annual report.
Is it my screen that is flicking like that? What's happening, Lubabalo?
Even mine.
What's happening? Why is there problem with the sharing?
The flickering is most probably coming from the sharer chair, because I'm also experiencing the same thing.
The sharer must start from scratch, system of sharing. Why is the, what's happening now?
We will check, Honorable Chair, and see what is the problem. And
Starting again.
It's flicking. It's not sharing properly.
It says this page can't be displayed. Can you use something else for the sharing? Another gadget.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, it's fine now. Let's see when you present.
Okay.
Then, go to bed.
Wait, is this computer?
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to do video again?
Yes, and go to bed. Okay.
Apologies for that. Thank you, Chairperson. I will be taking you through the combined quarterly performance of the ARF for the 1920. And just to highlight,
Lerato, do away with the full screen, because this thing of yours, it says this page can't be displayed. Internet Explorer, something. So I don't know whether you were not prepared, you people of the department. Why are you chowing our time now?
Okay.
Can you see a gadget? Where is the gadget that was used yesterday?
Apologies, Chair. We are fixing the problem. We are changing machines. We apologize for this inconvenience. we are fixing the problem.
It's the network that has a problem. I'm sorry.
The network?
Yes, it's the network.
Honorable Bergman, I see that you are sure that Cheti is here today because we're talking figures.
Yep, he's really good with these looking at figures.
Oh, Gosiam, Honorable Cheti, please, don't use your computer today. And your calculator at the same time. Seven, use one. And I would prefer that you use the computer, not the calculator.
Yeah, no, chair will be difficult, but they got a clean order, so it should be connected.
Well, I think if they can see you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We apologize for the delays and yes, the challenges that we just experienced. We'll be taking the committee through the combined quarterly performance report of the ARF for the 2019-20. So I would just like to highlight that we have been audited and our audit has been concluded and we are in the process of finalizing our audit, our annual report. And just moving to slide number five, the first performance indicator that we'll be referring to is the number of our advisory committee held. So for the year 1920, the advisory committee has had four meetings and that's what was predetermined. Therefore, there's no variance, the target was achieved. And moving to the second indicator of percentage of requests reviewed, the committee has reviewed 14 out of the 17 requests that were reviewed. And the three requests that were not reviewed in the 2019-20 have been deferred into the next financial year. Just to significantly highlight, one of the two projects that were deferred is the one for the special COVID fund, where the pledge was made by His Excellency, the President of South Africa. And the second one was also a pledge that was made to the African Center for Disease Control. Those two projects were deferred to April and the funds have already been dispersed. And moving to the next slide, just also to highlight that there's minor amendments on the slide that's presented to the one that has already been shared with the committee. So on the slide on page six, we're saying that the target is 100% of approved disbursement process for democracy and good governance. On the slide that was already shared, the presentation, there was an error there. It said humanitarian assistance, and we apologize for that. We just want to bring the attention on this amendment. And we say seven of the seven disbursements that were approved were processed for democracy and good governance. Just to highlight significantly the project, one of the projects there, it will be the Lesotho peace process, where the Judge Moseneke is facilitating the peace process in Lesotho. And moving to the next slide on the indicator of 100% of disbursements approved for humanitarian assistance, the target was also met. Eight of the eight was approved and processed, and we don't have any variance on that indicator. And moving to the next one on the issue of capacity building, we're saying three disbursements were approved and they were processed. Just to also highlight that the Zanele Mbeki Fund, we're saying payment with a total of 12 million have been made to the Zanele Mbeki Fund, and the project still has an outstanding balance of 25 million that has not been released to them. And the last indicator will be talking about the cooperation with other countries. So we're saying there as well, three of the three disbursements that were approved were also processed. So there's no variance on that one as well. And moving into slide 8, we're saying there also four of the four disbursements have been approved and have been processed. So just to also highlight to the committee that for the year, in total, we have disbursed funds out of our bank of with a total of 63 million. And the last indicator talks to the quarterly project progress report. Then we're saying every quarter there's a target to do one quarterly progress report. So for all the quarters, we have successfully done the detailed quarterly reports on all the projects. Chairperson, just moving to the next slide, this is where we're presenting now our performance, the statement of financial performance, and also to just highlight that these figures have been audited and there were no misstatements that were identified by the AG. For the 2019-20, the ARF was allocated 46 million by National Treasury, and we have accrued investment income on our balance in the Reserve Bank with a total of 63 million, and that brings down the total revenue to 109 million. And we had expenditure, which is the projects that were concurred, and that met the criteria to be disclosed with 45 million. And we've experienced forex loss on the two projects that were committed in foreign currency, which was the project to Malawi and the tripartite. So due to the value of the rand really weakening by the 31st of March, we experienced ourselves having a forex loss of 44 million. And our surplus for the year is 20 million. Moving to our statement of financial position, our cash in the bank as at 31st of March amounts to 918 million. And just to highlight that this cash in the bank, it includes all the funds, even for projects that are committed, but we are still awaiting certain processes so that we can disperse the funds on those projects. And those processes also include the internal supply chain processes compliance so that we can be in a position to disperse the funds. And we have provisions, and which is under our liabilities, which with a total amount of 448 million. Provisions is the project where they met the criteria as per our accounting policies to disclose them in our trial balance. And we have lastly our payables from non-exchange, which is the amount that we owe to DERCO for the payments that they've done on our behalf. And the reason that we have this balance is because there are payments that are processed by missions. So at the 31st of March, if payments are processed by a certain mission on that day, it will only reflect on our side after the system is closed. And the 1.3 million was successfully refunded to the department in April. And that brings us to our accumulated surplus of 467 million. And Chairperson, moving to the reconciliation of available funds, here is where we are wanting to show our issue that how much are we declaring to Treasury, because the PFMA says by every year we need to, accounting officer must write a declaration to Treasury of any available surplus. So as compared to the previous financial years, this year we do not have any surplus to declare to National Treasury. And the reason for that is because all the projects were committed. And you see on the slides, we have our cash in the bank of 918 million. And we have our total projects which were committed. And these are the projects that have concurrence by the 31st of March of 619 million. And in addition, we also have projects that were committed after year end. And as part of that 157 million is that 106 that I spoke to earlier, where the president made pledges to the AU, and there were other pledges that were made subsequently also after. So those funds, we need to reserve them so that we do not apply to Treasury for money that we do not have. And there we also had to offset the amount of the Cuba loan. There's 140 that's due to be granted to Cuba on a loan. We are still waiting for the agreement process to be extended. As soon as that is done, we will now be able to disperse the funds. But as of 31st of March, the balance was still in our bank account. Hence, we need to show it in our calculation. And lastly, it will be the amount that was paid to Derco. So the available funds, as of 31st of March, the ARF doesn't have any available funds to declare to National Treasury.
Thank you so much, Lerato, DG, on South Africa's candidates to positions in the AU Commission with the next presentation. As a portfolio committee, we have noted with that South Africa has fielded two candidates for the position of the deputy chair of the AU Commission. We need to be made to understand why this is the case, and furthermore, those candidates are both males, which for us complicates the matter even more. We need to understand the processes followed to arrive at the nominations, and in particular explain how it came about that South Africa is fielding two candidates for one position. Strategically, this has a potential of sending mixed signals, which could be construed as that the country could not decide on who to field and support. How it has arrived at the decision to field only male candidates, and why the issue of gender balance did not become an important factor in the selection process for candidates, and also why South Africa has opted to ignore its own decisions as part of the decisions of the AU with regards to gender parity. This is despite the fact that the AU constitutes Constitutive Act, Article 4, Subsection 1, provides for promotion of gender equality. Moreover, South Africa's foreign policy advocates for gender equality. And the 11th extraordinary session of the AU summit, focusing on institutional reform of the African Union, was held in Addis Ababa in November 2018, also emphasized these things. And a number of decisions were made, including the one on the structure and portfolios of the senior leadership of the AU Commission. So on the selection of the senior leaders of the AU, DG and your team, the Assembly decided that the following key principles shall guide the selection process of the senior leadership of the AU. One, provides that point 2, subsection 6, provides that the principles of rotational gender parity shall be applied to the post of chairperson and deputy chairperson, ensuring that if the chair is male, then the deputy shall be a female and vice versa. We are well aware that Mr. Faki, the current chair of the AU Commission, from the Czech Republic, is running unopposed because the Ghanaian candidate, Mr. Chamas, withdrew at the last minute. For the position of the chairperson, there is already a male candidate. Are there prospects of running the race to the finishing with all these odds? Perhaps there is a case to revisit the decision on these nominations for the good of the country and to safeguard South Africa's endeavor to remain an influential member within the continent. we can also sense a political pushback on South Africa. Let's face it, it's there. It's playing itself out. At times, it is better to occupy the back seat and be an influencer of a middle power, orchestrate change from the back, rather than occupy a front seat only to be a bench warmer. So as public representatives, we always want facts in order to express our political views on matters of public discourse. With regards to the issues relating to the AU, there are perceptions out there, whether wrong or right. Firstly, that South Africa doesn't know how to play its diplomacy after the departure of Mengistu Zuma. And how do you respond to this to ensure that South Africa retains its heart and stature as an influential member within the community of the nations? And the unfortunate perception comes as a reaction to South Africa's tenor on chairing the AU. It is alluded by doomsayers that there is no substantive achievement except of issues relating to COVID response for the continent and elections. It is in the interest of the portfolio committee to clarify where it's needed and provide this clarity, a correct position on the gains attributed to South Africa's chairpersonship of the AU, be proactively communicated to counter so public diplomacy must be seen to be taking proactive lead on these matters and the challenges that department is facing with in terms of communication, as alluded in our meeting yesterday. This will need a department that will make sure that this communication is received throughout the world and the continent itself. So before we, let me also speak, DG, on the matters of the CG. There's an issue of the current CG of South Africa to Los Angeles. What is the process followed when posting someone to a station in terms of accommodation, furniture? Who is responsible to assist such a person to settle down on the position without interfering with the administrative processes in the department? It will help us at least to understand what the practice is in this regard, and we will be able to respond accordingly when matters of this nature are brought to our attention by all our representatives in those foreign countries. So that's the third point that you should allude to.
Maybe you can only do it while your office is on.
Comrade, Justin, Dialende, and whoever, mute your mic. Whoever that is speaking here must mute the mic. Keep your mics muted, please. So let us be in order. So I'm raising the third one so that you just flow with your presentations without me giving the outline of what is expected from the department. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. With me, I have, in fact, earlier made a mistake. The head of the branch, the GTG responsible, under which the AU resort, Ambassador Ngosi, will quickly take the committee through the process and we will fill up as we move on. And I will come back to the LA after this one.
For a moment, that Ambassador Ngosi is changed and there's Bongiwe now. Oh, thank you for that.
I made a mistake earlier.
Okay.
I made a mistake, Chair, because of other commitments that I knew. We had hoped that we can draw this one, but Ambassador Ngozi, in his own way of ensuring that things happen, did have to skip other things to ensure that he is into this committee as part of our commitment to ensure that we provide information to the committee as original as you be from those who are interacting with us. I request an apology for that oversight, and actually just so the name and I mentioned it that time. May I request that permission, Chair?
Yes.
Ms. Ngozi?
Well, thanks very much, Director General, and greetings to the Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. Honourable Chairperson, indeed it's our pleasure to update and brief the committee, the esteemed committee, on the status with regards to the filling of the position of the Deputy Chair of the African Union Commission. As the Chairperson and Honourable Members will be aware, the AU has undertaken a very transparent process leading up to the selection of the members of the Commission, which will take place in February 2021. This transparent process takes place within the framework of the institutional reforms that the AU has adopted as part and parcel of making the organization to be fit for purpose, as part and parcel of the process of making the organization to be more agile, to be more effective, and to be more efficient, but also to be more representative, particularly at the senior leadership level, with due regard to the imperatives of gender parity, as well as to regard to the imperative of bringing in young people into the organization. Now, in that regard, the AU invited member states to submit nominations for candidates for the AU Commission senior leadership. Now, the AU Commission senior leadership that will be elected next February will comprise of eight members, a chairperson, deputy chairperson, plus six commissioners. This is a reduction of the top leadership of the African Union Commission from the current 10. So the commission has now been reduced as part and parcel of the reforms, as part and parcel of the process of streamlining the work of the commission. Has been reduced from a 10-member or 10-person commission to a 6-person commission. Now, the election of the members of the commission should be viewed in a global context. And by that, I mean we should view the election for the chairperson and the deputy chairperson within the broader context of the election for the commissioner positions. Now, Chairperson, South Africa, as part and parcel of the process of ensuring that this matter is dealt with in an open and transparent manner, we issued an advertisement. We published an advertisement in July 2020, inviting suitably qualified South Africans to apply for senior leadership positions in the African Union Commission. Now, with respect specifically to the position of the deputy chairperson, which is the matter that the honorable chairperson has asked us to respond to. We received five applications. And in terms of gender distribution, 3 males and 2 females. We then considered these applications, and based on an assessment of the relevant qualifications, relevant experience, as well as exposure to operating at a senior and strategic management level, only 2 candidates out of the 5 met the criteria. And these 2 candidates happen to be male candidates of the 5 that had expressed an interest in the position. We then duly submitted these candidates for the consideration of cabinet. And cabinet agreed that we submit, directed that we submit both candidates as South Africa's candidates for the position of deputy chairperson of the AU. Now that is just one part of the story. As I said, you need to look at it globally. The other part of the story.
Oh, yes. Hey, long time.
Mr. Ngangelele, long time, mute your phone. You got it. Please.
Thank you, Chair. Now, the other part of the story is that we have the 6 commissioner positions, which will also, which are also due for filling in February 2021. Now we've taken the view as a country that we need to field as many candidates as is possible, so that we have an opportunity, we have a chance as a country to at least secure one position. In any case, no matter how many positions we field or how many candidates we field, if we enjoy the support of the region, we will only be eligible to have one candidate in the commission. Now, this is dependent on whether the region that we belong to, which is Southern Africa, approves of and endorses our candidates. Now, we fielded two candidates for commissioner positions. We fielded a candidate for the commissioner position for political affairs, peace and security. And we fielded a candidate for the commissioner position of education, science and technology and innovation. Now, the commissioner candidate process was a very rigorous meritocratic process, which was undertaken by an independent recruitment agency, which went through all the CVs of the applications and also subjected the applicants to an initial screening process. And through that process, two of our candidates have been selected for the next phase or for the next stage of the process. which confirmed that these indeed were two very strong candidates. And in fact, the candidate who fielded for the position of Commissioner for Science and Technology, Education and Innovation, that candidate tops the list. He tops the list. He has received the highest score. And he is by a lot of miles apart from the second best candidate, as well as the rest of the candidates for that portfolio. The other candidate that we had fielded, who has also moved to the next stage, performed well. He is not number one in his group, but he's number three in the group. Now, Chairperson and honorable members, we are now going to move to the next phase of the process, which will be a phase that will be characterized by a lot of negotiations. It's normally referred to as the horse trading phase. So there's going to be a lot of negotiation internally. Firstly, within the Southern Africa region. Now, the region has to decide whether it proceeds with the position of deputy chair, as we have two candidates, or it forgoes this the deputy chairship and rather focuses on the
Mr. Ngozi, so you don't have presentation. Why is your presentation not beamed?
Chairperson, I was informed yesterday. I was attending the diplomatic training program, so I was not aware that I was supposed to make a presentation.
So you are reporting from your head.
Well, I have my notes, Chairperson.
Oh, okay.
Which I can share. I can just adapt it and share.
All right.
Yes. Now, the region will have to decide whether we proceed with the deputy chairship position or we focus on the commissioner positions. Now, currently, as a region, we've got two positions in the commission. We have the commissioner for agriculture, who comes from Angola, and we have a commissioner for trade and industry. Both these commissioners have expressed an interest to stand for a second term. By next January, they would have concluded their first terms. And both the commissioners enjoy the endorsement and support of their countries. So we also have that issue to deal with. But South Africa is not the only country that has nominated candidates in the region. All the countries in the Southern Africa region have submitted nominations, largely because, as I said, it's a transparent and open process, and all countries have got aspirations and ambitions to be represented in the commission. But at the end of the day, Chairperson, the region, Southern Africa, will either have two commissioners in the commission or a deputy chair. It can't have both. This is in accordance with the regulations and the decisions of the assembly. So we are still early in the process, but as I say, we've moved now from the first phase to the next phase, which is a phase where we have to take some very key and strategic decisions on how we move forward. Now, finally, Chairperson, just on the matter that you had intimated around the current the position of the incumbent chair. Indeed, you are correct. Mr. Faki has been nominated by the Central Region. And so far, he's the only candidate. Of course, that process is closed now of the submission of nominations. So he is, in fact, for all intents and purposes, the only candidate. But it's not a guarantee, it's not a given that he will be, he will emerge as the chairperson of the commission in 2021. Because even though he has been nominated and he's the only candidate, he will still be subjected to an electoral process. In accordance with the AU Constitutive Act and the rules of procedure, for anybody to be elected to the position of chairperson, you need a two-thirds majority of the votes of those who are present during the election. So there will be a ballot that will be cast with regards to the nomination of Mr. Faki. And in the event that he failed to get two-thirds majority, the whole process will have to be opened for the submission of new nominations. But that is in the event he failed to get a two-thirds majority. Indeed, in the event that he gets a two-thirds majority, then you are correct, Chairperson, in accordance with the Zebra principle. For every black stripe, there must be white stripe and vice versa. It would mean that the deputy chairperson will have to be female. This is in accordance with the AU's principle of gender rotational parity. So chairperson, that is where we are in terms of the process, and I hope I have responded to your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador Ngosi. DG, who's the next presenter?
Miss, Ambassador Modlomo, the DDG responsible for Americas and Europe. She will take the floor.
Okay.
Ambassador Lomo? You are muted, Ambassador Lomo. Ambassador Lomo, you are muted. Please unmute. Honorable Chair, we are sorry. It seems there is a connection problem from your side. I will try in the meantime to just take the committee through. Indeed, there is a problem. There has been a problem in LA after the transfer of the Consulate General Sunduza arrived there at the end of January. The normal procedure, as the chair has indicated, that it will be important for the honorable committee to understand, is that for on arrival, a transferred official or head of mission stays in a hotel while other arrangements are done. Okay.
What's happening? What's happening, Gigi?
It seems Ambassador Lomo is trying to speak. She just has come through.
She must not try to speak. She must speak. Otherwise, you must continue. You must continue. No, we can't hear you.
Just remove the camera, Ambassador, and see.
I'm unmuted.
Remove the camera, please.
Okay. Hello?
Yes?
This is unbelievable. Honorable Chair?
Yes?
Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry. I had to move around in our offices because I thought I'm unmuted, but for some reason I couldn't get through. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, DM and colleagues, good morning. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Regarding how the process for preparing for heads of missions to arrive in a mission, the process is that when the head of mission is about to leave, the corporate services manager who works closely in the mission to support the head of mission. The first part, which could be from 2 days to 7 days, is when they are in the hotel and we're finalizing the temporary one, which will be self-catering, which will be allow the head of mission to be there. Oh, the property. Then we will go, the corporate services manager will go into the property, look at the furniture, look at everything else which needs to be looked at before the head of mission arrives, prepares it accordingly. If it's broken, make sure that it's substituted with a new one or it's repaired before the head of mission arrives. But in this instance, we don't have a state-owned property. So the CG went into a hotel, from a hotel, went to another, which was... The challenge we've had, members of the portfolio committee and the chair, is that when on one hand, when the CG arrived, the pandemic immediately kicked in, and then it was difficult to start looking for accommodation the way we are used to. So that ended up in a delayed process. The second one is that then you had a challenge in the relationship between the CG and the corporate service manager. After that process, they again looked, they tried by all means to work online to look for accommodation, as we were from head office helping them, directing them and hoping that the problem would be resolved as soon as possible. So that's because of that, and because of the relationship between the CSM and the CG.
Honorable Alvin, please mute your mic, Deputy Minister. You are disturbing our meeting. Please. Mute your mic, please. Continue, Ambassador.
Okay. So during that time, the people on properties started increasing their prices. That was one thing which was the impact of that. And there was also the problem of the relationship between the CSM and the head of mission. And in our support, we advise that issue should be addressed by CG by writing down what the problems are. And eventually the minister said, this cannot go on for too long. Let's appoint an investigator who has come with a report. It has taken longer for the CG to go to the most suitable and permanent accommodation for her because for three occasions, we found it, she has found a suitable place. We signed the lease. By the time she's about to move in, they say, no, we've given it to somebody else. It has happened three times, the latest being last week. And that's when then the department decided that we have to intervene differently moving forward and urgently. I think I'll stop there, Chair. Thank you.
Honourable members, those were three presentations which were requested. I'm going now to allow hands for the committee to deliberate on the report. Can I note hands? Honourable Bachmann, you're the first one. Can I note hands? Honourable members, please raise your hands. Honourable Bachmann, followed by Honourable Msane. Honourable Banza, I see your hand. Honourable Swartz will be the last one. In that order.
Yeah, thanks very much. I just wanted to find out, from first, let's start with the last presentation. Why didn't the Consulate General just move into the last residence that was held by the last Consulate General? I assume if it was good enough for her, it would be good enough for the new Consulate General. And second to that, sorry, I'm just out of breath. I had to climb up the stairs. And second to that, with regards to Alexandra, the African Renaissance Fund, the clean audit reports is obviously always welcomed. But I remember the days, and we always come back to it, where we speak about the qualification for what is qualified as a transaction that is allowed under the Alexandra, the African Renaissance Fund. Now, what I'm getting at is that I'm getting concerned about the fact that the original intention and the current intention, we're becoming far removed from what the original intention and what the current intention are. And this is becoming a piggy bank international relations. And we've moved far away from what really is the original intention. I used to think when it was the Minister of International Relations and the Minister of Treasury had to sign off together, and then under a certain president and a certain minister, I thought it was that minister that was the reason why this was the arrangement had changed. But I seem to think that it's not the minister anymore. I seem to think that there's other reasons why this is not happening. Now, we look at the projects, and the projects are not necessarily aligning to what is strategically something that should build relations around building an African Union. Yesterday, Honourable Msane spoke about an African Union, a united union. And I always talk about charity begins at home. And we look at SADC, and we look at the Zambian election. We look at what was happening at Zambia yesterday. And you saw the horrible images of the opposition leader's wife having her clothes torn off her outside court. And this is where, these are the kind of things that we should be speaking out from a solidarity point of view within if we're an African Union. We need to talk about human rights abuses wherever they occur. And when we talk about, regardless of whether it's opposition politics or whether it's mainstream politics, when it comes to African Renaissance projects, we need to build funds and bring funds into things that would build democracy, bring in education. And the things that are taking place on a static point of view is that we don't seem to be getting enough funding on election missions. And this seems to be hampering us. Things like election missions. Now, what's happening, interestingly enough, on the Mozambique level is that they're not talking about necessarily just terrorism. They don't think it's necessarily just the problem of terrorism that's taking place in Mozambique. They believe that if you, terrorism is when an outside force comes in and infiltrates and kills people in a country. But when two people from within the same country start killing each other, they call it civil war. And they're beginning to think that what's really taking place, possibly in Mozambique on the northern borders, could start being called civil war. And I think something like the African Renaissance Fund, if we use it more wisely, we could start playing a bigger part in trying to stop what's taking place in Mozambique, trying to stop what's taking place in Zambia, and trying to help with what's taking place in all areas in the SADC region, and trying to build a better, stronger SADC region and a better, stronger African Union. Thanks very much, Chair.
Honorable Sons.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to start with the AU. The commissions of the other SADC countries, did they field female candidates? Because it seems like South Africa is only fielding male for all these positions, chair, deputy chair, the political affairs and the education. So honestly, I don't think we are trying hard enough to reach out, especially to females, and to either maybe provide some form of capacitation so that we empower more women than males. Because even the Ambassador Nkosi, when he's presenting, he made it seem very clear that our females are not good enough. So of these other SADC countries, are they fielding females? And then, Chairperson, I will divert a little bit. The UN has about 42 structures. Now that we see that South Africa has a problem of fielding females, of these 42 structures in the UN, how many do we have that are females deployed, especially there's something called D positions in these UN structures? How many females does South Africa have and people with disabilities that are deployed there? And then also, Chairperson, with regards to the AU, what is happening in Nigeria is similar to what happened in Zimbabwe, and it's becoming a serious crisis in the African continent. And the regional blogs are very silent about these issues. They're very silent. AU will just issue a statement. So if maybe our political heads of this department can guide us on what interventions is the African Union doing. Yes, obviously they have to consider the sovereignty of that particular country, but it seems to be a trend now that African governments deploy military and state forces on their people in order to silence them. And I would assume that the AU would need to come up with a very strategic policy that prevents such from happening in any country in the continent. Because we are watching it from far, Chairperson, today. But let's be honest, we are part of Africa, and today it looks far, tomorrow it might be home. So we need the AU to be very decisive and to act on this issue, Chairperson. With regards to the performance of this ARF, because the presentation, Chairperson, says ARF performance information. But what we seem to get every time these bodies come here to report is to tell us that they've spent money. Money is there, obviously it will be spent. For the presentation to say that they've paid 12 million already to Zanele Mbeki, we didn't have a problem of what, of them paying. We've got a problem of what are you paying for? Is it worth the amount of money that we are paying these projects that we are paying for? Previously, in the previous presentation from the ARF, they had said that they had spent some money, Chairperson, on to provide support for the African Continental Free Trade, which was 80% at that time, which was in May. We asked for a list. We asked for a list of what are these support projects on the African Continental Free Trade. What are they? What have they done? And since the African Continental Free Trade project was halted till next year, this 80% that was spent, what was it for? So it seems the department, yes, you will spend money. Money is available. We know that. But are we spending money that is worth it? 12 million going to Zanele Mbeki, for example, I'll stick to that because it is supposed to be empowering women, and not just women of the country, but women of the continent. And we are proudly being told that there's 25 million still to go out. What has this 12 million served? What has it served? Chairperson, there's money that are spent. We want to know, are they worth our while? Are they worth the citizens' while? Are they serving the purpose of the South African foreign policy? Thank you very much.
Honorable Banza.
Thank you, Chair. And greetings to the deputy ministers who are with us and the honorable members. Chair, let me start with the ARF. I also concur with the fact that, of course, yes, it's commendable that they achieved a clean audit. But, Chair, I will always raise this issue. That ARF is not the department. And the more we also, the department also expand on this good practice and performance of the ARF to the department, the better. Chair, we also raised the issue very strongly of the migration of the ARF to the agency. I don't know how to pronounce this thing, or SAPTA, or something like that. And it seems as if this matter is not treated with the agency that it deserves. And I think it becomes very urgent now since the Foreign Service Act is now in place. Because, Chair, as much as it's doing some good work in terms of audit outcomes and also some of the projects, but it's also underspending, which is not also something that is acceptable. When you've got money to do the work and you don't spend it, it's not commendable. We can't have a DG being a referee and a player for a long, long time. And I think, Chair, this migration must take place as a matter of urgency and without any further delays. I therefore propose that we must get a regular update as a committee on this matter to see that this migration really takes place. Chair, on the issue of AU candidates, whatever the explanation you are giving, Chair, it's understandable and all those things, but there are fundamental principles and values that we cannot compromise on, which is the lack of transformation in the AU in terms of gender equality and representation. And Chair, we must, as a committee, say that this is highly, highly unacceptable and cannot be tolerated by the committee, and just overlook it and say, no, there was the international and global context that we must look at. These principles I'm talking about of gender equality and representation, Chair, are internationally recognized values and principles. So I don't understand the issue of the global context. Global context does not promote gender inequality and gender non-representation of our women section of the society. So I think, Chair, the department must engage whatever structures are there, whether it's SADC that is coming up with this, and impress that there must be a recourse of actually addressing this violation of this very renowned international principles that I've talked about. Chair, on the issue of the accommodation of the new consulate, Chair, I think here I don't have much to say. I heard the explanation and whatever. I think this matter, Chair, we are dealing with human beings here. And you see, it's very important that sometimes when a situation is faced with another person, you must also put yourself in the shoes of that particular person, in particular people who are representing the country in the outside world and in other countries. I think the department must really, really move with speed and make whatever intervention and address this and make sure that going forward we don't have a repeat of this these things, they become things of the past and we don't have to deal with it all the time in our community. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. We welcome all the presentations. I'll start with the AU candidate, Chair, and it's just unbelievable, Chair, that South Africa fields males, then come here and lament global content with us here in the committee. And if there is lack of proper preparation, Chair, this department, it means that when we talk women empowerment, when we talk women equality, when we talk women being fit to compete in any space, with this department, it will nearly end as a slogan. There is nothing that we are going to achieve if we have such presentations and we have males being fielded and then we get told about a global content shift. So I hope that there will be proper consultations and preparations and proper assisting of women to contest and we feel that in the future, Chair. And then, Chair, on the accommodation, I don't know, this department, Chair, we must really find a language that they understand. Because for as long as we are going to think that property must be removed from that finance division and it must function on its own, we are going to have this problem. These people that are there, Chair, in fact, I'm going to be very straightforward and blunt. That CSM must be recalled. Because he can't be sitting there and playing games and they come here and talk English and then tell us that they are still going to try and find accommodation, they are doing that, when they are blocking the rental agencies from accommodating the Consul General there so that the ambassador gets accommodation. So, Magabuye, the problem is that it's what we are talking about in this department all the time. Because I can bet you, 5 million rand I don't have, Chair. Uguti, if we can check him, he does not have the skill for what he's doing. Since that unit themselves said, Uguti, it's the blind leading the blind. They do not have the skill. They do not, they have the unit in words and in English. The property management unit at Derco. But it's not functioning because they are event managers and LLP lawyers in that unit. So, Chair, when these accommodation things come and property things come, because we keep on repeating one thing with this department. And the mere fact that there is no milestone report to show us that they're even attempting, Chair, to put this unit in into place. So Magabu Yelompo Ongas Gutuenzani, he's just living in another country. Les Mitozabo Zeguti, they get posted. Le English Chair. So you must come back as Osebenzala so that people with skills go there and service our deployed ambassadors properly. Coming to the ARF Chair. ARF must be institutionally separated, Chair, from the department, where there is shared services. This should be done appropriately through proper arrangements. For example, if the ARF uses departmental policies, it should be reflected as such. If it is procuring through the department, that too should be clearly spelled out, as the two are separate by law. We are aware that the DG is also the accounting authority of this fund, which means he or she has to account for what is going on in the fund. Therefore, the DG cannot take advantage and treat these two entities as the same, Chair. Even the accounting standards are not the same. But to eliminate any further problems, the department should expedite the finalization of the Partnership Development Fund Bill so that we then have the purpose to repeal the ARF and establish a development partnership fund, which we believe is the one SAPTA must administer. And would therefore make Derco the accounting officer in the form of the DG, will provide administrative oversight rather than the DG playing himself as being the biggest player and the referee, which is the case now, Chair. We do, however, commend the outcome of the ARF audits and the consistency since last year. On the clean audits. And therefore, it is imperative that the secretariat be beefed up so that you are able to separate the department from the ARF fund. And I think, Chair, ever since we started with the department, we have been saying this and singing this, and we are hoping that the finalization, Chair, will come very much quicker and faster, so that the Partnership Development Fund Bill comes into place and SAPSA becomes the administrator and not the accounting officer at DIRCO. Thank you, Chair.
Is there no other hands, honorable members? Okay, honorable members, can you mute your mic? I'm muting his mic. Please mute your mic. Please. Honorable members, thank you very much for your contributions, and also welcome again the clean audit from the department. ARF, it has been consistent in this thing of achieving a clean audit. I must say, DG and Honorable Deputy Ministers, that I'm so perturbed and very disappointed by the response from Ambassador Ngosi on the AU Commission issue, and how confidently it tells the committee of the global context which the matter must be viewed on or from. And I find it very contradictory, by the way, the manner in which he articulates the whole thing, because in his last utterances, they are clearly telling us that with the principle of rotation, South Africa does not stand a chance, by the way, to secure the position, because it has to be a woman. So there was no effort generally from the side of the department and those who decided on these two male candidates. And in that global context itself, which he's alluding to, he withstands the fact that the principles of the AU generally, they speak on gender parity. But they themselves at the department did not look into those global contexts when they were busy deciding on the names of the people that must secure the position. So I just want to understand, when are these global contexts are playing out, when and how, because they themselves, as the people who selected people, who are candidates who are supposed to be recommended, generally the global context was never considered, and the principles of as set out by the AU, and probably the department must tell us what politics that are at play in the AU, and they must not shy away of informing the portfolio committee
about the political games within the AU, whether it's for the process or because of the influences from outside there in the AU. Remember, we were there at some point ourselves as observers, and we know what politics are at play. The influence outside, for sure, will push for the candidates from the favorable countries like Rwanda and Chad, because they are strategically positioning will benefit them. We must be told as the portfolio committee what politics that I play at that level of the AU, so that we are able to understand what is there. And we were in New York, Ambassador Shom, and we experienced the same thing which CG Sunduza is now going to experience, and seemingly she will be experiencing permanently. The sabotage at the level of those foreign countries, we experienced it firsthand, where ourselves as members of the portfolio committee could not get a accommodation which was proper. We're placed in a dump. After that, we're placed in a hotel which had no food, where you were forced to get food from outside. But what was so surprising is that the quotations which were submitted by the department or whoever responsible, they quoted food in hotels where there was no food. Yeah? So we know these things. And this problem of CG Sunduza, it's not a problem which we have not experienced in those few days when we're on our oversight there. And I can feel the pain where I'm seated, where you are put in a dump and people are blocking deliberately that you get accommodation from those people, because the accommodation that you must get from Sunduza is an accommodation where people will be able to loot and get their 10%, as it is the case when we went to New York and found a parking lot approved by the department as an office to be secured by the embassy there. So we are not shocked by even the explanation by Ambassador Dlomo, which in some extent sugarcoating the real issues there. And that investigation sanctioned by the minister and the report, whatever that is there recommended, it must be implemented with immediate effect. And you must make that report available. We want to see the report of the outcomes of the investigation, because the issue of CG Sunduza, it has been in the public domain, left and right, and was brought to my attention as the chair. And since to date, it has not been resolved. I want to know and understand why it has not been resolved until to date. And I want to agree with the Honorable Swartz that CMC or CSM must be recalled, must come back here and with immediate effect. And that has to happen because it can never be that staffers, they sabotage their bosses, particularly in foreign land. That thing is in fact insubordination, and that person must be subjected to DC processes of the department and must be brought to book. We know that the former CG there suffered the same experience, and the department did not do anything about it. And that thing has to stop, and it must stop now, today, and moving forward. And you must mute your mic when I beat you. We don't want to see you on the screen because we are not talking yet. So please behave yourself. So that matter has to be resolved. Put that CSM on the next flight to South Africa and must be accountable on the things that he's been doing, because it is not for the first time. We know that he did the same thing to CG Debray, but was not brave enough to bring it to the attention of the portfolio committee, and there were no interventions from the department which liberated the previous CG, and this thing, it cannot be continuing. It must stop, and it must stop now. On the ARF, what was the money for the entity? Pay back to the department. What was it for? We want to know. The 1.332 million that you are referring to here in your presentation, Lerato, the payback was for what? We want to know and understand that as well. So can respond to the questions of honorable members. Thank you very much. Over to you, DG, and your team. Advocate Mpumlwana, I see your hand is up.
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm always in and out.
Okay. All right. Over to you, honorable member. Are you in or out? Is it you who's raising the hand? Advocate Mpumlwana. Okay, maybe you are out. Can you respond to the questions, DJ and your team?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The colleagues will also assist with answers, but I need to just take some that may be necessary for me to say something about. We thank the committee once more for the opportunity to present for this entity. And then we would like to, most of the comments we take note of, and we will incorporate them into our future work. And I must indicate that as we were reporting against indicators and targets, some of which, as the committee will recall, were just mundane. And we, in our presentation of the new APP and the new strategic plan, one of the things we said was that we transformed into targets that will reflect more impact than just activity. So during the presentations of quarterly reports, we'll be able to demonstrate that where we have done the work. We do not know how much we may have moved away from the original intention, as Honorable Bergman says, because all what we are doing is still the same objectives I started with at the beginning, that all the projects should fit in with the five objectives, so that every expenditure we incur in this area has to be dealing with those. We do note, however, that indeed there's a need for us to refocus and ensure that we deal with those pertinent issues such as conflict resolution, and some of which were cited to us, where it is possible. Already, I must indicate we are in the process of providing support to Mozambique. It was a slightly delayed support because it was a post-IDAI. We're in the process of finalizing the modality of doing that, including Zimbabwe, is what we are as part of providing support in areas that can mitigate against sources of conflict in particular, because essentially those are the things that lead to conflict. I must indicate, of course, that and Ambassador Ngozi will still emphasize the point regarding what we presented here. We note that this is a public meeting, and the process we are talking about is still taking place. It involves other countries, and then some of the things that we would otherwise have been able to say regarding the dynamics of this commission candidatures may not necessarily be easy to elaborate very clearly in a situation like this, as they have the potential to militate against our further bargaining on some of the things that as a country we are looking for. But I must indicate that we're just giving a context to show that this is a very demanding exercise, and as South Africa, based on the advice and recommendations of this committee, we did of course allow that people should express their intentions through application where they meet these recommendations without fail. And part of other processes that we do, among others, including on the dialogues, is to also elevate the issue of women, and that should lead to, in future, women getting more empowered to try and be candidates to important positions such as that. I will acknowledge, of course, that the presentation we made here, which is based on the outer year of the fifth administration and those things that we targeted, was put together as a parallel process of what we should put together into the actual annual report. And indeed, they may be deficient in some ways, in that we're actually pulling out from quarters and then trying to put something that can make sense to the committee, and which lead us to us informing the committee about the fact that at the time, at the initial time of the meeting or of our what should have happened to the briefing, we did not at that time have the picture we have now, because we're just in the process of receiving the audit outcome. Indeed, the current scenario plays it out to show that the DG of DERCO is, in terms of the African Renaissance Fund Act, is the accounting, in fact, the act says accounting officer, but in the language of the entities, it is an accounting authority. Well, this, of course, may sound like a plan reference situation, but it is only on the basis of accountability that for all that goes wrong and right, the bucks will stop with whoever is identified as accounting officer. The truth of the matter, of course, is that for us to change this current situation, there is a need to repeal the current African Renaissance Act. And this is why we have the bill that we call the Development Partnership Fund Bill, which is the intention where we will remedy those elements, unintended legislative consequences, such as that which has led to the DG of the department becoming the accounting officer of the entity, to which indeed, as the honorable member showed, he should be providing what we call administrative oversight. So these are some of the things that are intended in the bill. And that is where SADBA as an agency, indeed, SADBA will be the administrative arm, because here we are talking about the fund. The ARF is a fund, and it has a secretariat, and truly, the secretariat is not well institutionalized to perform all the other functions, which is why it has a shared services with the department, the DGS, the accounting authority, and the CFO have to then support this secretariat for accountability purpose and ensure that the governance arrangements result into this that we are finding ourselves in. The truth of the matter, honorable members, is that at some point we will be able to send back, after internal processes shall have taken place, the revised bill to take into consideration what the committee has always been saying, and then the legislative process will re-unfold, and then at that point, these changes that the honorable committee is referring to will be attended to. Yes, it is true that handling of the matters of the head of mission, including accommodation and challenges related thereto, are some of the things that we are prioritizing given the experiences that have been shown by how it transpired in LA. Without giving excuses, the circumstances around the COVID pandemic and the lockdowns, international travel, etc., also affected our ability to urgently attend to the matter from head office point of view, which is why we had to need someone accredited stationed in another mission to quickly go travel there to look at what are the root causes of these unresolved and perpetual problems between the CSM and the CG. And when the skies opened in that country, the colleague was able to go quickly there. And this is why he has made some investigations and included in those investigations, which we are still dealing with internally. There are recommendations, as the committee says, which we need to immediately implement and then still continue to address this matter of the accommodation. I must indicate, maybe from a personal experience, I'm sorry to say, I had the privilege to study in that country. Most of their buildings are not of the same standard, despite that country being a first world country, because they are old and the cities are old. And if you come from South Africa, where you have this newly built neighborhoods, etc., it may be challenging to accept the situation. Most of the things there, in most cities that are old, etc., may make others to struggle, but that is no excuse that our CSM should really step up and ensure that they come in and support the heads of mission. Well, I want to give an opportunity to my colleagues to take those areas that may be specific to their sites, and then I'll give over first to Lerato. Since she's with me here, while other colleagues are preparing themselves to answer the remaining questions. May I defer to Ms. Lerato Sembo to take those direct questions?
Yes, DJ.
Thank you, DJ, and thank you, Honorable Chair. Just to respond on the first one, where the question says, the ministers, are they still signing to attend the process? Okay. Yes. The answer is yes. The project is still recommended by the Minister of DERCO, and it's still signed off, which is approved by the Minister of Finance. And to respond to the second one on the spending, actually the 12 million that was spent paid over to Van Allen Bay Fund, it was for the hotel accommodation. And the remaining balance of the 25 will not be paid over to the Van Allen Bay Foundation, because of there were certain requirements that needed to be complied with in the SLA that we signed, and there were other deficiencies that were noted. So as a result, we will not be paying it over. The project will be considered for closure with that balance. And on the issue of the 1.3 million that was paid over to the department, Honorable Chairperson, as you may recall, ARF doesn't have its own accounting system. So what happens is that the department does payment for us, and they give us a proof of payment, and we reimburse them. And we're doing it that way so that we avoid giving them money in advance so that they don't sit with balances where they overset year end. So what happened towards year end is that we submitted requests to the department to process payment. It's on various projects. Just to name one, it was on the drought relief Namibia, where a payment was done to rent water. So the payment was done towards year end. And when the proof of payment was already submitted to us, it was already in April. So that's why we had to reimburse the department for the total of 1.3. It's made up of various projects. And on the issue that was raised on where we think we're sharing the policies and procedures with the department, yes, ARF is sharing, is adopting the policies of the department. And there was, it was previously also raised by the AG that is there a shared service agreement signed? But the challenge has always been that the accounting officer and the accounting authority is one person. So who signs the shared service agreement with who? So, but we are we do use the policy of the department, which is not always favorable on our side, because it affects also how we do the spending and the supply chain processes, which take time for us as ARF to actually respond. Yes, I think I've covered most of the questions on the ARF side. Thank you, Chairperson.
You left out the money you paid back to the...
Didn't hear. The 1.3, Chairperson, I explained that the 1.3 was for the payments that they've done. So they comprise of various, just that's why I named that one of them is where we paid rent water. 470,000 is a payment that the department did for us, so we had to reimburse them. And there was also 85,000 that was paid on the humanitarian assistance South Sudan towards the end. This payment was processed by our missions. So when the proof of payment was submitted by the department to us, it was already after year end. And the other one was for the AU observer mission. So when the observers go to countries, they'll go there and the missions processes their accommodation bill. And only then, after they pay, they only send the proof of payment to ARF. Hence, we sit with the payable balance as at the end, because we wait for the system to interface and we get proof of payment from the department. And the 702, which is the last transaction, was on the Lesotho PIP process. The transactions there include the payment to the Judge Musenege, they will, and also to the payment salaries to the support team that helps him to execute his duties in Lesotho. Thank you, Chairperson.
May we invite the other colleagues for other questions?
Nikki?
Ambassador Ngozi, your mic is muted.
Oh, sorry, I was yielding for Ambassador Somo.
Sorry. Yeah. Are you going ahead, Ambassador Ngozi?
No, please continue, Ambassador.
Okay. Honorable members, again, DJ has explained, and I must emphasize that he's been very, very worried about what's happening there, demanding reports from us. And if you recall, honorable members, we've got ambassadors very highly experienced as a leader, Ambassador Mtegeto in Washington, who's also responsible for that Consul General mission. And we've all been working hard. We had thought that we'd be able to resolve the problem earlier, and then it took longer until DG and the minister decided that let's just send an investigator from outside to go and understand exactly what's going on and why it's taking so long. So far, more than 30 properties have been looked at to determine whether they could be suitable for the CG. And it has also been decided that
as soon as possible, somebody will be sent in there to look at the furniture while the report, as DG has said, is going to be looked at and the recommendations implemented immediately. Why didn't the CG move into the previous CG's property? Because there was a lag time between when the CG before this one left and this one went there, and it was a rented property. I can assure the members that we don't get any happiness in seeing a head of mission representing South Africa going through all these kind of things. So we do all our best, and we promise with the DG at the helm and the minister to do our best. We realize it has taken longer than we had thought, but the COVID and the conditions took us to where we are now. Thank you. Thank you.
So where was the experienced one to resolve the matter before the minister could even intervene? Why are you telling us about the experienced people who failed to intervene on the matter, and it took a minister in South Africa to intervene? Where were they?
They intervened, you chairperson. They intervened several times.
How did they intervene? Why was their intervention not successful? Why was the intervention of the experienced one there in that foreign country, as you are alluding here, was not successful? Why does it have to take the minister for you to move and intervene on these matters?
Honorable Chair, as DG said, that unfortunately this is a public meeting and we're not able to say everything which happened. But the full reports on how the process worked and how different people were put into the course to try and resolve the problem.
I'll leave it there for honourable members. DG, who else must respond?
Ngosi.
Ngosi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just to come back on three issues based on the comments by the honourable members. I can confirm that two SADC countries have nominated female candidates, and that's Angola and Mozambique. On the question of the positions for the chair and the deputy chair and the commissioners, what we're referring to when we're saying a global context, we're referring to the totality of the picture. And the totality of the picture means we need to look at the deputy chair position simultaneously with the commissioner positions. We cannot separate the two because they are interlinked. Because as I said, you can't have both. You can only have a deputy chairship or have two commissioners or vice versa. So you can't have both. So that is the totality of the picture we're referring to. Then lastly, Chair, we've sketched scenarios, and these are just scenarios. Anything is possible. So there is a possibility of a scenario where
Honourable members, if I see or hear you are muted, unmuted, yeah, I'm going to remove you from this meeting. It can't be that we're going to preach one and the same thing as if we are talking to preschool children. No, you are disturbing our meeting. Mute your mics. Your mics must be kept muted until you are noted by the chair to speak. Please. Continue, Ambassador Ngozi.
Thank you, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, as I was saying, we are sketching two scenarios vis-a-vis the SADC prospects or Southern Africa's prospects. The first scenario is whereby the current incumbent retains the position. It gets a two-thirds majority in February next year. In that case, the Southern Africa region will stand a very good chance of retaining at least two commissioner positions in the AUC, in the AU Commission. In the event the current chair does not get the two-thirds majority that is required in accordance with the Constitutive Act, as well as the rules of procedure, the whole process will then be opened up. And it will be at that point that will then be guided as to how we should proceed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Are you done, DG, with your responses?
I didn't hear, Chair.
Are you done with the responses?
We hope we are done unless there are certain things that members feel we didn't do. I'm just taking on my notes.
Honourable, a quick second bite. Honourable Bachmann, Honourable Sane, Honourable Bachmann, Honourable Swartz, Honourable Sane, in that order.
Chair, thanks very much. I'm flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted that we've now got two sets of answers. We've got answers where we can give to the committee, and we've got answers that we can't give to the committee during a public meeting. This is where it gets to dangerous grounds. This is where we start getting to something that is exactly what Parliament, the spirit of Parliament is not what it's about. The information that we ask for is exactly in the spirit of Parliament, is for transparency and accountability. And I asked Ambassador Dlomo a question, and I asked Ambassador Dlomo, what was the reason why our current Consulate General could not move into the last property? Her submission to us is that there was a lag from the one property to the last property. That's sad that that's her submission to us. That's taking the committee, she might not know that we might have made contact with the rental agents. She might not know that we might know other stories. The fact of the matter is that when you come to this committee, you have to be honest with this committee. You have to tell this committee the truth. And now when we talk about this problem is that we in South Africa, we represent the country and we represent the country abroad. Now we've got a consulate general in America that is unhoused, does not have the required equipment, so to speak, and it looks embarrassing on South Africa. Now we're trying to blame it on a specific person. And now she says it might not be that specific person, you know, because the ambassador is also trying to help. We've also made a submission that the minister is also trying to help. But let me ask some specific questions here, because this will maybe help us even more. Because in my understanding, and I've been educated by DIRCO, I've been in the DIRCO training, you have to, as a consulate general or a head of a mission, when you leave the country or when you leave your office, you have to give back your passport, your diplomatic passport. You have to give back your diplomatic ID. You have to give back the keys. Has this all been done? Did we get the deposit back for the last rental? Because I know in previous times when we've rented on behalf of the Consulate General, we've extended the rental agreement to make way for the new Consulate General. I've never heard of us having a lag where we can't make way for the new Consulate General to house the new Consulate General. Even in Namibia, where we have properties that are, I can tell you, the shameful properties and the states in which we've left some of our properties. What we've had to do for some of our consulate generals. We've even had ambassadors land up in hospital because we've made them sleep in missions where they've had to endure what we've left them in. they've landed up in hospital. We put them up for disciplinary hearings because if they wouldn't sleep in the mission. And here you're telling me that we couldn't put them up in a rental because they weren't, we couldn't find accommodation for them. Ambassador Dlomo, is it your, are you sure that's the submission you're going to lead with? Is that you're going to tell us that the reason we couldn't have this property was we let it lag, that we left on good terms? Is that your submission? Thank you.
Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. My direct question to Ambassador Dlomo is if she could please kindly inform this committee that as we speak now, where is Ambassador C.G. Sunduza staying now, as things stand? Where is she staying? And also, I think Ambassador Dlomo, it means you are not on par on what is happening at Durco, because you guys are in your e-property management unit that knows what it is doing. So the experienced ambassador, he or she, that you are saying that an experienced person took over, they've got experience in what? In the built environment. In real estate, to be specific, they've got experience in that. Because if you are saying that a junior person was handling the matter and an experienced person took over, then Ambassador Sunduza should be in a house as we speak. So if you can kindly inform us that where is she currently staying now? And through you, Chair, could we please today, before you close the meeting, the department please give us time frame, because it's been months. The DG is saying he's not using COVID as an excuse. But before COVID came along, and while we're in COVID, we spoke about a PMU milestone report that we're supposed to get. If we can just get it in date and times, and when are we going to get it? So that we have time frames on the PMU when we will get it. Two, the development fund, but we need the progress. In terms of time frames, what are the estimates? When will it be concluded? So that we can have the separation of ARF from the department. And you know, Chair, we are always talking about this PMU, of which the CFO is part of. But because the way Turco has done things, of not understanding that by law, finance and property management are two different things by law. Because indirectly, the CFO is part of this property management unit because it falls under the finance division. But whenever we are speaking here, he is mute about it because legally they are not supposed to be together. So the sooner we get the PMU milestone in terms of timeframes and reports, and also in that PMU report, we are requesting again what you gave us. As the department, you gave us CVs of people who are event coordinators or managers with diplomas in event management who are running properties of Durco. I think Honorable Msan and myself have asked that Sipelama CVs with qualifications of this PMU unit so that when we get the milestone report, we'll be able to get movement as to where we are going. But Lena Che, Yaga Ambassador Sunduza, no, we can't have Ambassador Dlomo telling us that an experienced person did it. I hope that the response we are going to get is that Ambassador Sunduza is staying at house number one and in which street, because an experienced person is handling the matter now. Thank you, Che.
Honorable Msan.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We received a legacy report started in this committee last year from the Fifth Parliament. And it seems like the department certain issues, they do not want to deal with them. So the challenges that we would have found are the same challenges that we will leave. Is it not better then that the department informs us that let us rather scrap this requirement that ARF must move to SADPA? Because we've had numerous meetings where the DG is shifting the goalpost. He's shifting the goalpost. Really, we don't know whether this milestone will ever be met. Does the department want to meet this milestone? Are they prepared to make sure that this milestone is met? So, Chairperson, so that we stop sounding like broken records, the department must be clear on what needs to be done. If the department wants us to monitor them like school learners, to say that every week they must give us how far is the process of moving the ARF to SADPA, because if we give them time so that when they report, they give us reports, it seems the milestone keeps moving. That is number one, Chair. It's very shocking to hear that 12 million rand was for hotel accommodation. 12 million rand was for hotel accommodation for the Zanele-Mbeki, which now there are issues which were found, Chairperson, and now this project is what? Going for closure. So how much have we then invested into this project without seeing fruitful results? And these queries that they are finding now, or loopholes or whatever they are finding now, which are causing the project to go for closure, why were they not found at the beginning before the department actually spent a cent on this initiative? So when we say the ARF is being used as a channel to misuse funds, it looks as if we are against progress. But after so much money has been spent on the Zanele-Mbeki, we discover now that 12 million was for accommodation. And for projects which we do not see results, we can see, Chairperson, the AU, even South Africa itself, cannot field women candidates. Wouldn't it have been better if this money for the past year, it's been used to empower women in order for us to even have a special candidate that we would have trained ourselves with this 12 million that is spent for accommodation? We've spent money under the name of women, which is not benefiting women. It's very clear we have no capacity of women, but money has been spent for accommodation. Chairperson, the report is out because clearly the department wants to implement now what the report says. You have stated it very clearly, and also Honorable Swartz has stated it very clearly. This SCM must come home. And Chairperson, we would want a date on when his flight is booked so that we know ubuyile. And consequences and consequences must be implemented. Because it seems like the department is turning this committee into a talk shop. It can never be, Chairperson.
We want weekly reports, Chairperson, on what is happening with the implementation of the consequences that were found on the report. Because like you said, we experienced a very same treatment when we got to New York. Money was spent for accommodation, which was not even approved by Parliament. So what this CHD is facing, we know it. We know it, Chairperson. It's a way of frustrating and looting money. They want to loot and frustrate the CG. So this CSM, like you have said, must be recalled immediately, and we want to see his flight bookings. Thank you very much, Chair.
Can you lower your hands when you're done talking? Honorable members, response. Before you respond, DG, I want to ask you a direct question, and so that you don't dilly-dally on the issues. That we want to know and want to understand. But before this, I must tell you, Ambassador Dlomo, that in the Portfolio Committee of Parliament, in public, you apply for that. There is no secret information in terms of Parliament, not unless it is permitted for you. And the committee applies to have a closed meeting, and and then you will be able to have a leverage not to share information with the Portfolio Committee. So here you must share the information. My question to you, DG, if you are unable to answer this question, probably the two deputy ministers that are present in this meeting can assist you. Is there a pushback on South Africa or not? The outside influence, is it at play? There in the AU, particularly on these matters that we raised here. And I don't know what is difficult for you to tell us here as honorable members whether this is the case. So I'm posing this question to you. If you are unable to answer it, your principals are here, can assist you to answer the question. We want to know and be able, as the Portfolio Committee, try and intervene where necessary, because some issues which you table or do as a department, we can't just leave them unattended as members of Parliament. I'm covered by Honorable Msane and and also Ambassador Dlomo, the ambassador in America with no accommodation, that also must hear. We need to know
where seated, DG, I know that the keys of the cars which were used by the previous CG in LA, they are nowhere to be found, and the current CG has no transportation or can't access that. The gadgets which were used by the previous CG there in LA, they have not been returned. What Honorable Bergman is sugarcoating here today, it is in aspect at play, and as a matter of fact, what he just alluded to is what is happening currently in some parts of the foreign lands, where our own people are unable to operate because the department does not care. Now, I want to say to you today that where there's people who are responsible or DDGs responsible for these countries, they must be replaced. Cannot be owned to what we see today. It can never be accepted that our ambassadors are homeless in foreign countries. That thing, it must cease to exist, and it must stop, and must stop from today. The submission to you and the questions to you and your team that you must respond, and we are going to make our conclusion at the end of the meeting as the portfolio committee. Over to you and your team.
Honorable Chair, you were cutting. I'll just start with the question that you said was direct to me, to confirm it if I understood you, so that I can make a determination. I captured it as, is there a pushback on South Africa or not, or outside influence that is playing out at AU? Was that the question, Honorable Chair? Because I was writing down, trying to capture everything that you were saying, but there was a cut, so I want to make sure that I captured it appropriately. Oh, Honorable Chair doesn't hear me.
Continue, DG, yes. DG?
Yes, Chair, if that is the case, for now, this question is very deep, and then I believe the chair is based on whether this is affecting our candidature. Do you understand? I don't think there is any pushback on our country. I rather think that if given that these positions are contested positions, each country plays out its own national interest, and it is lobbying and all those kinds of things that you don't blow your whistle, your trumpet before, so that you can hear what another is thinking and see what you can get out of it. And this is what perhaps I was alluding to when I said the fact is that you want to ensure that all you have all your information intact, and all those who are also competing for the same things there, or whose support you need, and they need your support. As this is just at a preliminary stage of these processes, you always want to ensure that you've done all your own lobbying sufficiently, and you hear their lobbying, and then you can then pronounce yourself. Because I believe the stage where we are is still a preliminary stage, where candidates has expressed intention, and the actual processes will unfold until the election or for those positions coming through at that time. So the journey between now and then is a matter of everyone playing to cards or his cards next to his chest to ensure that you balance your interest against others. So in the event that I did not do justice to this question, I'll still prefer that my bosses can help me? That was a direct question to me, Honorable Chair. May I give to Lerato to reflect on the 12 million and that question related to the matter there.
Lerato?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just to explain the issue of the 12 million, it was the accommodation which was inclusive of conferencing calls, facilities such as technical equipment and research, and it was accommodation for 1,000 women who came from 55 countries to engage in a dialogue. And just to explain why we paid the 12 million and now we're saying we will not be proceeding with the 25. When the project was approved, there was a service level agreement that was signed between the department and AWIT. In that SLA, we specifically stated that the procurement processes of the department will need to be followed. And we further said to them, they need to give us, before each and every spending, a projection and the quotation and the supporting documentation of how the expenditure will be catered. For the 12 million, they did submit that was in compliance. But for the 25 million, they only didn't comply because they wanted to submit expenditure after they actually have processed it and they wanted a refund from our side. And we actually said, no, this is not in compliance with what we have signed for. And that is why, as a result, the ARF will not be honoring that payment. Thank you.
You're done. The other colleagues can come in, and if there is anything, we'll come back.
TJ, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I think I might have caused a confusion about the lacking. Usually, we have two cycles of posting, it's June and December. And it's very easy when you have a rental agreement, your lease, it will give mostly 3 months a notice to the landlord. And if you've been happy with the accommodation which you have been renting for the past 4 months, then when that 3 month period kicks in, then you can negotiate the next head of mission. That in this instance, if you recall, honorable members, we had elections, so the process didn't go from June to December. Postings were delayed. In that way, we could not keep the property which was being rented for the next person who was not there yet, and we're not sure when that a new person will come in to take over. In terms of whether the deposit which was paid was paid back to us, on that, honorable members, I would ask that the department be given time to go back to finance to get all the details, because I don't have the details with me about what happened in that regard. Where is the CG staying right now? The CG, if you recall, honorable members, at the beginning we said the CG stayed in a hotel, from a hotel, stayed in a one room which was not suitable, and then stay to a three-bedroom, which used to be used by one of our colleagues while we were looking. She's still in that three-bedroom, which was used by a colleague who since left and came back, and CG stayed in that accommodation. Since then, we have the team in LA have looked at over 30 properties which are supposed to be suitable. Either they are too expensive for the budget we have, or after we've signed, as I indicated earlier on, we signed three leases, different leases, and every time it's time for us to move in or for the city to move in, the landlord will tell us that either they are now selling the property or somebody else who's paying more has offered, they're no longer going to give it to us. That's when then the department, the DG, in consultation with the minister, said, let's just send an investigator to find out what exactly is going on, because now it's going on for a long time. In terms of the experience, honorable members, the ambassador in a country where there are consul generals is the one who supervises what happens. in that CG mission. And then they work through that ambassador and then who talks to head office. What I meant is that when it became clear that there was tension and fight between the CG and the CSM, the ambassador in Washington called them in and said, can you explain to me what is going on? And can you explain to me how are we going to, give me proposals on how we're going to solve this problem? And then the ambassador took that report and gave it to us. At that point, we're still all believing that the problem can be solved because it was not, we didn't think it was a big problem. Until, as I said, the leadership in head office decided that this cannot go on in this way. Let's send an investigator to find out exactly what is going on. In terms of timeframes of this report, I thought that you were going to talk to that one, but since we've received the report, it has been put as it's urgent. And DG, I think as soon as he discusses with the minister, a letter will be sent out, and I suspect it will be by today to the officials about what needs to be done and the recommendations, because there's a list of recommendations which have been put there. In terms of public, your honourable members, public discussing public issues, I've said all what has been going on, but I think what I meant is that perhaps, and I'm hoping that could be considered, all these examples which have been given by honourable members about what the department is doing and not doing. Perhaps it's better when it's in a closed meeting and give us all the time and we've got specific cases we respond to and we explain. Because sometimes when it's very complex and I cannot explain all the other complexities, and it also involves names of people. So in terms of that, and the mission itself, in terms of our reputation as South Africa in our missions and how we manage our missions and how we deal with our people there, relative to how we do the work, which we're supposed to do in that particular country. That's what I meant. I hope I've covered all the issues. In terms of the, what does the CG have now in tools which are needed for head to work? We had to make sure that the CG got and was given all the tools she needs, including the car and the driver and the phone and the laptop for her to do the work. But in what happened with the other one, I think DG is in a better place to respond to that, because I was not around at that time. And also what happened in that case, the case. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Who else did it?
Yes, the other question was on the department to inform when will scrap or the requirements of ARF, movement of ARF to SAPA. I would like to submit once again that the ARF is in terms of a legislation indeed that needs to be repealed. The process, the internal processes of processing the draft bill for consideration by cabinet, I think we'll once the internal processes have been worked out, we may submit a project plan for when what should happen about this, taking it back to cabinet so that the bill will then reach parliament at some point, in which case the fund will change into the one that was contemplated. And as the Honourable Committee will recall, SATPA was created as a component, as an agency, but here we are talking about the fund, like the ARF as a fund, and then the envisaged partnership fund, which will take some elements which were not anticipated at the time when the ARF Act was passed. I think it's a matter of us drawing down a project plan for the when what should happen is to happen, and then be able to share with the committee that elements that constitute that. I didn't pick up well the last part of Ambassador Glomo where he refers to me. If you can repeat so that I can immediately answer while I'm on the floor. And the department did not want to deal with some of the pertinent issues raised in the legacy report. And then most of the issues that were referred to us, as I said, when we were presenting the departmental report yesterday, we have made it our task to track every matter that arose from the portfolio committee briefing in order to ensure that it is part of our action metrics. We may not have the legacy report itself in its form, but we were using mostly the BRR report and all those matters that were communicated to us, whereby we can just take them one by one. But if one of them is this SATPA, it is covered by what I've just explained now, that since this is a legislative process, it is something that we will earnestly report about, and we will definitely put some milestone around it until we are able to satisfy the expectations of all our principals and the committee. I just want to hear what the ambassador from. Sometimes this side is some cut in the voices, and you just hear the last part. If you can just refer the matter quickly for me so that I can answer.
If the Honourable Chairperson allows me, DG, the question was, what is the time frame for implementing the recommendations which are in the investigator's report?
Oh, well, it will be with immediate effect. The report is with us as we speak and has been processed. The first actions will be with immediate effect, and the other process will unfold. And I must indicate that when, because this is affecting an individual and a person who is also covered by the Bill of Rights in terms of fair labor practice, we will definitely act on what has been asked us for us to do, because it is as clear as that, and perhaps it will meet with the expectation of what has already been alluded to by the committee. So it is with immediate effect, but we can report progress to the committee on a time that can be determined by the committee for that purpose. But the immediate steps that are being suggested are with immediate effect. I thank you, Honorable Committee.
Honorable DM, Masiho Dlamini, your hand is up. Can I allow you the platform?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, we have listened to the questions and the response from the department, but I just want to emphasize that I don't think there's any foul play at the AU issues that the committee is complaining about. But what I see on the resolution that was taken in 2018, It's some contradiction where we speak about regional rotations, and at the same time we're speaking about addressing the issues of gender. But as it comes to different countries now, you'll see that other countries, they just filled a person without even following the resolution that is there. So I think these are some of the things that need to be looked at. But I still hope that it will be corrected, because around those issues of appointment of the commissioners in the AU, the deputy chair of the AU, there's an eminent people that have been appointed, a committee of five people that are coming from different regions. So I think those people will consider all these issues that we are complaining about. But the resolutions, really, implementation of the resolutions now in the transformed AU, it becomes very difficult, but we hope that it will really gain momentum as we are moving on. Secondly, on the issues of the tools of trade in the department and the issue of the CG, I think we need to accept that the department is too slow in terms of addressing issues of tools of trade in the department, whether in the department or also in the missions. And it becomes very critical in the missions if really you are sent there in a foreign country and you are not properly supported. And I hear that the DG said the report is in the department. I never saw the report myself. I don't think Deputy Minister Waters has also seen the report. But we'll follow the report, we'll look at the report and help the department to implement. Thank you very much, Chair. Are you still there, Chair? Chairperson?
Ukhona uChairperson, usifuna unmute.
Oh, okay. I'm done.
Chairperson, please unmute yourself.
I'm unmuted, I'm Kai. I need to host now.
Sinabi, Kai. Sinabi, please. Lubabalo, can you locate the chairperson?
Okay, sir. I'll do that.
Penis. Nino DP. Ngabakhaya, but you are my neighbors.
I'm sorry, colleagues, to cause this problem. I think it was me. I don't know why it happens after I have spoken.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, hello, committee. Yes, I have spoken.
Honorable member, can you hear me now?
Okay, Chair, you're back.
Yes,
okay,
there was a glitch on the side of the operators of this thing. I don't know who they are. Technical problems. So, yeah, DM Mashiko Dlamini, I did not capture what you said, and I don't think the recording captured what you said as well because of the glitch. Can I give you the platform again, DM, please?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was just commenting on the response that you have given on the AU issues, on your question that whether... there are pushback on South Africa in the AU or what is it? I was just saying, I don't think there's any pushback for us as South Africa. But it is just the issue of the implementation of the decision of the AU. There's a decision that was taken 2018 on the election of the deputy chairperson of the AU, and also on the election of the six AU commissioners. But when you look at the decision now, it sometimes go at a level of serious contradiction, because if you speak about regional representation and gender parity, then you go on and say, you know, regional rotation. Then you go on and say, now, alphabetically, in terms of the alphabet of the countries, then it becomes a problem, because some of the countries, they will just field any other person because it is their turn to field the person or field whoever. So now I think the AU itself need also to make their decisions and their resolution binding so that they can implement as is according to their decisions of the 2018. The second matter is the issue of the CG. Yes, there are problems in the department. We need to accept that. The issues of tools of trades, supply of tools of trades to our officials, whether in the mission or at head office, it is a little bit slow in this department. So now it might happen that it is part of the issues of the slowness of doing things and all that. I just want to make an example that it's for the first time now we have almost completed a year in this department, but for the first time I received a gadget from the department somewhere in June, you know now. So what is happening to a person who's operating in another country without tools of trade, even without accommodation? So these are some of the problems. I also accept that our issues of property management, we're trying our best. The minister is trying his best, and the DG, to make sure that we streamline the issues of property management in line with the new legislation that we need to implement now. But then it won't be quick. Yes, we agree that we don't have a totally fully skilled technical people that understand issues of properties and issues of assessing properties and all that. So it's something that we are dealing with in the department. So we'll bear with us. The DG has indicated that there is an investigation report on the issues of the CG. Which report that I don't think we don't have it, but it is with the administration. I think going back to the administration, we'll make sure that this report recommendation are implemented in a quicker way, because we can't allow a person that is deployed by us representing the country and being a homeless person in a foreign country. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much, DM. Honorable members, let's leave it there. Let's take the response of the DM as the closing remark for our meeting. And,
Members, the time now is 1 o'clock. I'm going to allow the department to leave. DG, we are going to need a weekly report on urgent matters. And as Honorable Msane, Honorable and Honorable Swartz have recommended, and all South Africans which are representatives of this country in foreign lands, they must have accommodation. Cannot be that we're going to get reports and about that, and it can never be correct that the minister must intervene on every issue when the so-called experienced people in those foreign lands. It means something is wrong, because the minister has other serious responsibilities and tasks upon herself, as mandated and given by the President of the Republic of South Africa on administrative matters. You are just training the minister. It can never be accepted. I think it must stop, and it must stop now and today. So we want a weekly reports on the issue of the LACG. We want weekly reports on the issue of the ICT problems, which we were told that they were being resolved seamlessly, so as you presented to the meeting. Cannot be that the DM also will still complain about your incompetences in terms of providing tools of trade for everyone in the department. It cannot be accepted. And in fact, DG, if you don't want to implement the recommendations of the portfolio committee, you must say it upfront, so that we don't sound as a broken record as this portfolio committee, and look as people who don't know what they are doing, because we know. So we want those reports from the department. We are going to make a follow-up, and you are now released so that we're able to deal with other matters of the portfolio committee. Thank you very much.
We didn't hear part of what the chair said, except the end part. Perhaps the secretariat can summarize it for us and send it to us. All along, it was quiet from our side.
You are released. Mr. Zwela, are they gone?
I'm checking, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson.
We are yet checked.
Yes, Chair.
Okay. So how many sets of minutes do you have today? Three?
It's four, Chair.
How many pages each?
Okay. It's six, and another six. I'm checking the last two checks. The third one is 7 pages.
Honorable members, these technical glitches are going to give us problems because they are not. Can we do our? You see now they are coming up again. Can we do our minutes in our ordinary portfolio committee? When next week.
Noted, Chair.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I hope Honorable Members have noted all these things for our ordinary portfolio committee because seemingly there's a lot of challenges. We defeat other challenges and other challenges comes up in the department. So I just want to thank you very much for availing yourselves and the team responsibility and efforts in ensuring that we hold our departments and entities accountable at all times. Thank you very much. Our meeting is adjourned.